Those with lowered heads and beady eyes, flanking Magistrate Tosta on either side. Leia strode from the mirror bright to meet them, a heavy silver necklace around her neck, only a small part of the finery she'd donned for the occasion. The pale silvery gown she wore, with its high collar and deeply belled sleeves, was formal enough for the Senate chamber, and she was even now tugging on her finest cloak. It was a touch they would take note of, and satisfaction in.
Is the honored senator our only guest today?
One of the Nyctos gestured toward the ship.
We received Senator Pesterfo's regrets, but your guard will join us surely?
No security. Leia smiled with all the warmth she could muster. This is a diplomatic mission, one of the greatest importance to us both. If I didn't trust the people of Bastatha, I wouldn't have come here in the first place. The Nyctos' wide smiles told her how much they liked her answer.
Join us, Senator Organa. We have so much to show you.
They escorted her to a sort of speeder, one with a wide, variably powered base that allowed it to hover far above uneven surfaces. The transparent semi-enclosure at the top gave Leia a fine view of the caverns, particularly as they headed deeper within the world, farther away from the gauzy casino complexes. Here she saw small outcroppings that had been turned into residence buildings, perhaps to house the Nyctos and their employees. Unlike the elegant structures above, these residences seemed almost as if they were hidden, tucked away in darkness, closed in tight. Anyone who worked here would feel that the rest of the galaxy was far away. Whoever held power on Bastatha would appear to be the only source of authority in the world. Leia shivered as she brought her hands together, so they would be covered and warmed by her wide sleeves. Although she strongly agreed with most aspects of populist philosophy, she couldn't deny that her party's approach had its own flaws. One of them was that planets similar to Bastatha, without much independent power or a strong economy, tended to get left behind. We alone manage our own affairs, populist worlds said. The corollary to this was, we manage only our own affairs. When each planet was focused only on its own best interests, problems on other worlds were ignored. Failing to help those in need was bad enough for a government that claimed to represent and protect everyone. But even those too short-sighted to understand that ought to realize that one world's difficulties often spread off-planet and magnified exponentially. One world's epidemic could become a system-wide pandemic. One world's dissident faction could turn into interplanetary terrorism. The real kind, she thought sourly, barely able to restrain her scorn at the thought of Ransom Casterfo's ignorance. And one world's criminal mastermind could turn into a cartel boss capable of warping economic and political power among dozens of systems, just as the Hutts had not so long ago. Leia startled at a flash of movement in the corner of her eye. She turned to see a hover sled weaving up toward them, piloted by a single Nycto, one who'd aimed his blaster directly at her driver. Magistrate Tosta whispered something in his own language, sibilant and low. Leia turned toward him to see another two hover sleds pulling up alongside. One of the pilots gestured to someone behind them, no doubt covering them from behind. The firepower these Nycto had in their hands and holsters was enough to blow them all away 10 times over.
I apologize, Princess Leia,
said Tosta, doing his best to sound genuinely sorry. There was no need. They both knew he'd set her up.
We appear to be surrounded.
Chapter 7. As her captors boarded the hovercraft, Leia remained where she sat, her posture regal. Are you kidnapping me for ransom, or is this an assassination?
Neither, Senator Organa.
The Nycto attacker with the largest blaster smiled toothily at her.
We are bringing you to an important meeting. There is no need to resist.
Meaning they'll hurt me if I do. Leia had never planned on resisting. She simply folded her arms across her chest. Then it looks like I'm going to a meeting. Her supposed hosts, Magistrate Tosta and the businessmen who had led her into danger, were lowered to one of the nearest crags and told to walk to safety. This surprised Leia, only because she couldn't believe they were still going through this sham, pretending that she hadn't been set up from the beginning. Then again, could she blame them? She was pretending too, as though she were afraid or at least unsure. Leia had suspected something like this was in the offing from the first moment she'd read the business leader's invitation. In fact, she'd been counting on it. The speeder dived far deeper into the Bastatha Caverns, so much so that the Mirabrite now had to be a couple of kilometers overhead. Broader tunnels gave way to narrow passageways barely large enough for their ship to slip through. Although Leia didn't tend to be claustrophobic, she found herself keenly aware of the heaviness of the stone overhead. Soon they were nearly concealed in darkness, except for the faint glow of lights from the windows of a small domed structure atop a plateau in the depths of the cavern. As the hovercraft sidled to the edge of the plateau, Leia put one hand to her throat as if in dismay and pressed her fingers down hard on the central pendant of her necklace. That pendant, broad and jeweled, perfectly concealed the miniature sensor beacon Greer had wired in place first thing that morning. Now, signals were being sent to the Mirabrite, broadcasting not only her exact position, but also the scans of those closest to her, namely her captors. Leia's staff would immediately contact the local authorities. Although the Nikto magistrates wouldn't want to arrest criminal overlords as powerful as these, once a senator had been kidnapped, well, they couldn't talk their way around that one. All Leia had to do was hold on and stay alive. For one moment, the craft simply hung there in darkness, the deep well of the crevasse seemingly infinite beneath them. Overhead, Leia heard squeaks and flapping wings. Minox, perhaps. The only sign of civilization or light was the domed structure atop this plateau. When the door opened, a shaft of brightness cut into the gloom, and she saw the silhouette of her captor. He walked toward them, his individual features taking shape as Leia's eyes adjusted. He was shorter than most of the others, his leathery skin redder. The white trousers and jacket he wore seemed to shine in the darkness, so elegantly cut that Ransom Casterfo might have been proud to own them. He carried himself with as much dignity as any member of the Elder Houses, though there was something in his posture that made Leia feel Rinriven was mimicking humans. For what effect, she couldn't guess. As he reached the edge of the plateau, Leia lifted her head high. Rinriven Dai, I presume?
Princess Leia Organa.
Rinriven spoke warmly, as if welcoming an old friend. He held out his hand to help her from the hovercraft.
I apologize for your unorthodox journey here. However, I thought you unlikely to accept a straightforward invitation.
I would have appreciated the opportunity to say yes or no. Leia took Rinriven's hand and stepped easily onto the plateau, her cloak billowing in the breeze. If he could pretend this was any other formal visit, so could she. He ushered her toward the dome with as much dignity and courtesy as any court minister.
Let me see if I can't make it up to you. We have so much to discuss, you and I, including matters I believe will be of great interest and benefit to us both.
Then by all means, let's talk. Leia's purpose in accepting the shady invitation that had led her here was twofold. First, she intended to learn more about Rinriven Dai to determine for herself how he operated. If she was to understand the full extent of the risks he presented, she needed to better understand the man. She knew how to learn the true measure of an individual. Watch what he does to someone he believes is at his mercy. Second, she intended to put Rinriven in jail. Attempted kidnapping of a senator was only the latest and slightest of his crimes, but it would do for now. Even a brief period of incarceration would give the New Republic time to go after his cartel. So Leia needed to speak with her captor at length both to discover his true nature and to stall long enough for the Bastatha security forces to arrive. The interior of Rinriven's headquarters put the Bastatha casinos to shame. The table, tiled in a subtle mosaic of white and gold, the opalescent shell inlays within the domed ceiling, the beautiful holographic seascape rolling gently in its frame. This wasn't gaudy mimicry of elegance, but the real thing. Leia settled herself onto an ornately carved, amply cushioned chair across the table from the place she instinctively understood would be Rinriven's. It was the one spot from which nobody would be able to approach him from behind.
Let me offer you a drink.
Rinriven gestured for a droid to roll forward with a bottle of wine, apparently chilled. Leia was about to refuse when Rinriven continued,
Tawnire, an excellent vintage. A wonderful year. Sadly, one of the last.
Tawnire had been an Alderaanian wine. Leia's eyes widened as she took in the teal color, the characteristic shape of the bottle. It couldn't be real, could it? All the off-world bottles had to have been consumed long ago. But when the droid poured it into the correct slim flute, Leia recognized the scent. Suddenly she was back at a royal banquet, seated at her father's right hand, taking care to slowly nurse the one glass she had been given. Ignoring Rinriven's avid interest in her reaction, she took a sip. Yes, it was Tawnire. True Tawnire. The first moment the cool wine touched her tongue, she closed her eyes to better savor the sensation. Leia could imagine the valley where the fruit would have been grown, see the deep green leaves of the vines. For one instant, she could taste the very soil of Alderaan again. Home. The intense wave of emotion she felt never altered her expression. Leia let it happen and let it go. When she opened her eyes again, she saw Rinriven studying her, though he didn't seem to be fishing for a sign of weakness. Instead, he looked like any other host, hopeful to have pleased his guest. Thank you. Leia could say this much to Rinriven with total sincerity. It's been a long time since anyone gave me such a gift.
Took a while to find the vintage. Collectors prize the few remaining casks, as I'm sure you can imagine. But when I heard you would be visiting Bastatha, I realized I had to find an appropriate way to welcome you. I so wanted to get our relationship off to a good start.
Rinriven sat back in his luxurious chair. He seemed more at home in his finely appointed hideout than he would have in the usual rough haunts of the Nikto.
In fact, let me put you more at ease right away.
With that, he spoke to the guards massed at the door.
We have no further need of you. Senator Organa and I are having a civilized conversation. Go on about your business. We require only a driver to take her back to her ship when we're done.
The Nikto guards clearly hadn't anticipated this. Some shuffling and muttered debate followed before all but one of them took off on the hover sleds. The only guard left went and sat in the hovercraft, arms crossed sullenly across his chest. When Rinriven Dai turned back to Leia, she bowed her head and smiled. Your courtesy is much appreciated, Rinriven. And you obviously don't think a lone woman in her late 40s could represent much of a threat.
I meant what I said.
Rinriven settled back into his chair. He took none of the Tawnire himself, leaving it all for her.
My unorthodox introduction may have caused some confusion, but I genuinely would like for us to have a mutually beneficial relationship. You see, I've been an admirer of yours for some time. Nor am I the only one. Many among the Nikto's revere you, and not for the reasons the rest of the galaxy does. Oh, of course, your work during the rebellion was important, Senator, as your political efforts are now, but I personally find some of your other accomplishments far more impressive.
Leia took another sip of the precious Tawnire. I'm not sure I follow.
I'm about to give you another gift. One far more valuable to me than the wine. In fact, this has been one of my prized possessions for many years. One I've always kept with me. But when you see it, and know what it has meant to me and to so many of the Nyctos, at last you will understand.
Rinriven pulled a small hollow cube from his pocket. Its sides shone dully in the limited light.
My people have their reasons for hating the Hutts. Jabba the Hutt, we hated most of all. So when the Hutts went through the wreckage of Jabba's sail barge on Tatooine, looking for evidence regarding the exact nature of his death, to settle one of their endless debates over the will, you know how they are. Well, what emerged was a bit of footage traded in only the most exclusive circles.
The holocube flickered, and projected around it was the image of Jabba reclining on his platform, Leia herself in dancing girl costume shackled to his side. They were on the sail barge, and these were the last moments of Jabba the Hutt's life. Leia remembered the heat, the stench, the grit of sand against her skin, and the terrible, nauseating fear she'd felt for both Han and Luke. The risks they'd taken. Had they lost their minds? No. They'd only been young and courageous, sure of their own invincibility. It had been a long time since Leia felt that untouchable. Jabba ordered Luke thrown into the great pit of Carcoon. Moments later, chaos broke out. With a kind of awe, Leia watched herself sling the heavy chains around Jabba's neck. The sheer strength it took to compress a Hutt's neck to the point of asphyxiation, she had summoned that from somewhere deep inside. Remembered doing so, but found it almost unbelievable to witness. Pure hatred had fueled her. Her arms seemed to ache with remembered strain. Of course, she had been unable to see Jabba's face as he died. Leia watched him now, taking in each detail. The bulging of his heavy-lidded eyes, the protrusion of his slimy tongue. She felt neither revulsion nor triumph, only the echo of her own desperation. His death had been fulfilling to her back then, but now it was irrelevant. Only an ugly thing that had had to be done. When Jabba grunted his last, the hologram flickered out.
Hutt Slayer,
Rinriven breathed in genuine reverence.
This is what we call you among ourselves, and it is a far greater title than either senator or princess could ever be. The Nyctos know you for the warrior you are, Hutt Slayer, and you will always have friends among us.
Leia took the holocube, slipping it into the pocket of her cloak. Footage of her committing a murder? Well, it was either the strangest diplomatic gift she'd ever been given, or very close. There are other records of this around?
Only a handful. The Hutts hunted down most of the copies and vendors. They didn't want proof of their own vulnerability to circulate. As you can see, however, I have ways of getting what I want.
No doubt, Leia said dryly. Yet Rinriven was not the usual criminal boss, interested in the fastest, most brutish power. This was an individual who considered himself cultivated, intellectual. He didn't only want riches, he wanted respectability. If Rinriven had been born human in the age of the Empire, he could have turned into a figure a great deal like Grand Moff Tarkin. And had Tarkin been born a Nyctho, he would have been exactly like Rinriven. He's no thug, Leia decided. He's much more dangerous than that. And his goals will be broader than any mere spice cartel. Rinriven leaned forward, his elbows on the table, hands clasped together as though he were beseeching her.
We honor you, Hutt Slayer. We will always honor you for ridding the galaxy of Jabba the Hutt. I ask only that you honor us in return.
Finally, he was getting to it. What form do you expect this honor to take?
We only want the same opportunities other peoples enjoy. To trade freely and grow toward greater prosperity and influence throughout the galaxy.
Leia raised an eyebrow. Throughout the galaxy? Either Rin Rivendai's ambition was great, or his cartel was already even larger than they'd feared. The New Republic doesn't allow the free trade of most forms of spice, she said. The weak stuff that could be mined or grown on numerous planets, nobody worried about that. And of course there wasn't that much money in it. Cartels went for the stronger varieties. And coercing debtors through violence, demanding protection money, that's not allowed no matter what you're selling. She expected Rin Rivendai to deny these allegations, but he surprised her.
Rules set on Hosnian Prime often fail to reach the other worlds of the New Republic. Besides, Hutslayer, as you obviously know, sometimes violence is necessary. You didn't call Mos Eisley Security to deal with Jabba, did you? No.
He grinned with evident relish.
You trusted your own two hands. As do I.
I once fought lawlessness with lawlessness, it's true, she said. But I believe in the rule of law, and have spent most of my life trying to restore it to the galaxy. In other words, Rin Riven, I've made it this far without taking bribes. I don't intend to start now. Rin Riven shook his head and chuckled like she'd told a good joke.
A fine speech for the Senate floor. But you can't be as rigid as you claim. Otherwise, you could never have married a smuggler. Spice running, collaboration with the Hots, high-stakes gambling. Han Solo's record rivals mine.
That was a long time ago, Leia said, caught off guard. No one had ever thrown Han's past in her face so bluntly before. Before he joined the Rebellion.
Do you believe being a part of the Rebel Alliance washed away all sins?
Rin Riven shook his head, rueful and amused.
Trust me on this, Hutslayer. Once a pirate, always a pirate.
There had been a time when Leia would have agreed with Rin Riven, and this, more than anything, sparked her temper. You don't know what you're talking about.
Don't I?
Whatever else Rin Riven would have said was cut off by the sound of a blaster bolt. Leia wheeled around, alarmed. Surely Bastatha Security wouldn't blindly start firing into a hostage situation. Behind her, she heard Rin Riven hiss a Nikto curse as they both saw what was happening just outside, which was Ransom Casterfo facing off with the guard. Leia gasped as the guard swung one of his many pointed blades at Casterfo. They grappled, too close for blasters. Swift and agile, Casterfo dodged the blow, then spun around to bring the heel of his hand up under the Nikto's chin. The guard's head snapped back, and as he stumbled to the side in a daze, Casterfo kneed him hard in the gut, shoving the stunned Nikto guard backward into the hovercraft. Then Casterfo rushed toward the door, and Leia barely had time to scramble out of the way before he dashed in. "Princess Leia!" he shouted, leveling his blaster at Rin Riven. "Come with me, now!" What is he doing? What is he doing? But Leia couldn't argue, not without giving away the sting she'd planned in the first place. She could only stand there in equal parts astonishment and anger as Casterfo grabbed her hand. Rin Riven looked completely bemused. He had planned a meeting on his own mannerly terms, and perhaps had some backup that could be quickly summoned in case of a full-fledged assault, but didn't know what to do with one wild-eyed armed senator. He never rose from his elegant, high-backed chair, and he said only,
"Until we speak again, Hutslayer."
Casterfo didn't give Leia a chance to reply. He simply dragged her out of the dome and toward a hover sled. As they ran toward it, Leia yelled, "How did you get here? I put a tracker on your cloak, just in case you deviated from the scheduled flight path." Casterfo sounded triumphant, as he leapt onto the 2-meter-long hover sled and grasped the handlebars on the tall steering console.
When you went off course, I knew what had happened. I told you there would be trouble.
I knew there would be trouble. I had my own tracker on me the whole time. Vastatha security would have been here within minutes.
Leia jumped onto the hover sled, too. Her plan was ruined, so she might as well escape with Casterfo.
Did you honestly think I was stupid enough to walk into an obvious setup without guards or a plan?
A plan? This was part of a plan?
Casterfo's smug smile faded into bewilderment.
Why didn't you tell me there was a plan?
Because I don't trust you!
I just risked my life to save you from a dangerous situation that turns out to be nothing but a lie, one you set up, and you don't trust me?
That was not a bad point. Leia swore under her breath.
We can discuss this back at the ship. For now, we've got to get out of here.
Already, she could hear the Nikto guard stirring in the hovercraft. Casterfo put his hands on the controls, thumb sliding along the bar that brought the engine glowing back to full power. As he did so, though, Leia heard the hum of other engines, almost lost in the gale winds of the Vastatha Caverns, but growing louder by the moment.
We're about to have company, she said,
just as a dozen or more of Rin Riven's men flew out of the shadows and swooped in like carrion birds ready to pounce.
Go!
Chapter 8. When Ransom Casterfo had realized Leia Organa was in danger, he had not hesitated before rushing to her rescue. Yes, she had insulted him, been difficult at every turn, proved touchy and defensive, but she was his partner in the delegation and a member of the Senate. She required help. That was all there was to it. He'd been studying some of the new construction via hover sled when his monitor had informed him that the signal he was tracking had deviated sharply from the supposed itinerary for the businessmen. Casterfo had paused only long enough to send word back to the Mirror Bright that things had gone horribly wrong. He hadn't asked for backup because the caverns down here were far too narrow for either of their ships to safely navigate. He had only meant to leave word of the danger they were in so the authorities could be informed, and people would know what had become of him and Princess Leia if they did not survive. Then he steered the hover sled downward, straight into danger. Ransom felt he'd been brave, decisive, possibly even heroic. His reward? Finding out he'd just ruined a sting operation nobody had bothered to tell him about. Wonderful. As the mobster's thugs swooped in, Ransom gunned the engines of the sled and took off. The sudden rush of speed made Princess Leia gasp, and he shouted, "Hold on to me!" One of her arms went around his waist. With the other, she grabbed the blaster from his belt. As she clung to him, she shouted over the roar of wind, "Here they come!" Ransom couldn't afford to look too closely at the approaching attackers. He needed to lose them. Losing them meant flying fast through caverns the others wouldn't want to enter. That meant he needed to keep his eyes straight ahead. Green blaster bolts sliced through the air directly in front of them, and Ransom braced himself for a direct hit on the sled. But Princess Leia fired upward, and the caverns lit up with the brilliant flash of an explosion. When she fired again, another of the pursuing sleds slammed into a wall. Ransom saw the blaze from the corner of his eye.
I'll give her this, he thought. She doesn't lose her nerve.
Opportunity presented itself in the form of a narrow passageway studded with stalactites. Ransom pointed the sled straight at it and accelerated to maximum speed. He half expected the princess to cry out in alarm. Instead, she merely tightened her grip around his waist and started firing behind them. The stalactites carved the space of the cavern into a maze he had to weave through, one where a single mistake meant death. Dull red, jagged rock had swallowed them like jaws of stone. Ransom forgot about the risks, let them go completely. If he considered anything farther away than the controls of this sled, he'd crash within instants.
Bank left, rise! Bank left again, hard right! Up, then down, hard!
He only thought about the very next move, the very next second. Piloting a sled meant tilting your body along with the machine, feeling as if you were one with it. The stalactites zoomed into his field of vision moments before collision, over and over, and each time he bent and swerved just in time. Ransom felt a rush of pure exhilaration that took him beyond any fear. "They're getting too close!" Leia shouted. She fired behind them, a series of short, staccato blasts, and the stone rumbled. Had she caused a cave-in? Ransom's momentary fear changed to satisfaction as he realized Leia had targeted some of the stalactites, ensuring they'd topple in front of their pursuers. Explosions behind them lit up the crags ahead and the dark maw that promised an end to this cavern. "We're heading up!" He gripped the controls even tighter. "Brace yourself!" They emerged from the crevasse into a larger pit, and Ransom turned the sled sharply vertical. Their momentum allowed them to keep their footing, barely. "We've still got two on our tail!" Leia swore again. "See any other places we could lose them?" "Not yet!" Would they be shot down despite everything? Ransom heard the engines before he saw the blaster fire from above covering them. He gaped as he realized what was flying in overhead. An X-wing fighter darting through caverns hardly wider than the ship itself. It lanced through a narrow opening in the rock and spiraled over them, energy bolts streaking down toward their Nikto pursuers. At the last moment before the X-wing would have collided with stone, it looped up again, swiftly tilting sideways and pulling in its foils to slip between stalactites. "What in the worlds is Sea Striker doing here?" Leia asked. "I've no idea. How did he even fly down this far without crashing?" "Not a clue. But it looks like he's saved our skins." So he had. The last of their pursuers were no more than glowing rubble amid the stones below. Sea Striker dipped his wings at the hover sled, no doubt signaling for Ransom and Leia to head back to the Mirror Bright while he provided cover. Ransom pulled the sled out of its sharp ascent, steadying them both. Leia's arm slipped away from his waist as he cut speed to a more manageable level. His breathing slowed as he realized the chase was truly over. His rescue mission had been successful. Unnecessary, but successful. Then Leia said, "You know, you're not a bad pilot." He turned toward her. To his surprise, she was smiling. Ransom began to smile as well. "And you're not a bad shot." Magistrate Zune apologized profusely to Leia about the abduction and the failure of the Bastatha authorities to capture Rin Riven Dai. She accepted these apologies while idly wondering whether they'd even pretended to pursue him. Somehow she managed to sound regretful as she explained that Bastatha was now under conditional probational advisory of the New Republic. This was a fairly minor punishment as such things went, as much as they could impose upon a non-member world, but it would give the New Republic the right to observe and track activity around Bastatha for a while. She and Casterfo might not have the head of the cartel in their grasp, but they would have a chance to trace the cartel itself. That was, if the cartel didn't lay low on Bastatha for a while, which they surely would.
"Preparing for takeoff,"
Greer called from the cockpit as Leia snapped off her communications with the Bastatha authorities.
"Ready?"
"Just one thing." Leia walked into the cockpit and hit the comlink. "Lieutenant Sea Striker, you're aware that you were operating outside standard safety protocols today." His orders had told him to summon help, not to fly an X-wing into spaces that would have led most pilots to a swift demise.
"Yes, ma'am."
Joff's voice crackled slightly in the speaker.
"Am I on report?"
"You are not, but watch it next time. The regulations are there to protect you, and I knew the risks I was taking. All right?"
"Absolutely, ma'am."
Sea Striker sounded unrepentant, but Leia shook her head and let it go. Greer hesitated before saying,
"Did Joff really dive into that cavern?"
"He did." Leia recognized the look on Greer's face now. It reminded her of Han's expression any time he saw a brand new racing ship. Pure longing. More softly, she said, "Do you miss it?" flying like that? Greer's smile faded as she put her hands on the controls for takeoff.
Just wish I could have seen him. That's all.
Leia didn't push any farther, simply patted Greer's shoulder as she walked back into the main lounge area of the ship. Corey had already gone to her cabin, busily preparing the reports Leia would file upon her return, which meant Ransom Casterfo sat in there alone, drinking his Gadolinton tea. By now, his fine blue cloak had been stained and torn into a parody of itself, but to judge by the smile on his face, he didn't care. His expression reminded her a little bit of Ben's when he was little, running in after an afternoon of roughhousing with his friends, hair mussed, absolutely filthy, and proud of himself. She gestured to her own tunic and pants. You see now why I always come prepared.
Very prudent, Casterfo said with a nod. Next time I'll know how to pack.
She sat on the bench next to his. You showed real courage today. You were also reckless, but I like that in people.
I underestimated you, he admitted. That's a mistake I won't make again.
She raised an eyebrow. Do you mean you underestimated my intelligence or my deviousness? Casterfo's grin widened.
You underestimate my intelligence, if you expect me to answer that.
Leia had to laugh. This guy was going to do just fine in politics. Encouraged, he said,
If Rin Riven wasn't threatening you, what was he trying to accomplish?
He hoped I'd accept bribes to cover up his cartel's operations. Casterfo drew himself upright, as if he'd been the one insulted.
He couldn't possibly have expected you to go along with such a thing. With your history of service to the New Republic...
My history is a little more complicated than you might think. When Casterfo frowned in confusion, Leia pulled her cloak from the bench where she'd tossed it and drew the holocube from her pocket. The Nyctos hate the Hutts, and... Let's say I had a run-in with one of the Hutts a few decades ago. It didn't end well for him. She put the cube on the low table between them. Casterfo picked it up.
Do you want me to watch this?
Not particularly. It's not pretty.
You think I can't handle it?
Leia realized that as late as this morning, she would have believed exactly that. But Ransom Casterfo was far more than the empty suit she'd assumed him to be. It's up to you. He hit the control, then stared as he saw the small, flickering image of Leia and Jabba. Casterfo said not one word as the murder unfolded again. Leia studied his expression carefully, waiting to see signs of disgust or, far worse, glee. Instead, Casterfo's face revealed that he understood every bit of the danger she had taken on, and also understood exactly why Jabba the Hutt had to die. When the hollow ended, Casterfo took a deep breath.
I wouldn't have believed anyone could escape a Hutt's chains with her life, much less take the Hutt's life instead.
I wouldn't have either until we did it.
This was you and your brother, yes? The famous Luke Skywalker?
Casterfo now looked as eager as a child who wanted to hear his favorite story again.
How did you come up with your attack plan?
Leia had never actually told the tale in any detail, but she found herself warming to it. Luke's gift of the droids, Chewbacca's willingness to feign his own capture, her disguise as a bounty hunter. Casterfo listened raptly to it all. She'd never been one of those former soldiers who reveled in recounting her old war stories. But finally, Leia understood the appeal.
Spectacular, he said when she was done. As daring as any rebel mission I ever heard of.
So you admit the rebels were daring? Not only terrorists?
No, not only.
This was far from a complete retraction, but Leia figured she could cut the guy some slack. You're not all bad, Casterfo. He gave her an arch look.
Such high praise.
I mean it. You're brave and you're smart. And you fly so well, I'm going to have to keep my husband from recruiting you for one of his racing teams. You've got a lot going for you.
For a centrist.
He prickled slightly.
Do you think we're all so terrible?
Apparently not, she admitted.
But the way you think about the Empire, admiring it, honoring it, That I can't understand. It is not the Empire itself I honor. Palpatine's rule bred corruption and inhumanity, as I well remember. Casterfo's blue eyes met hers for only a moment. I'd only just turned 6 at the time of the Battle of Endor, but I assure you, Princess, I was already old enough to have experienced the Empire's evil for myself. It sounded like there was more there, but Leia knew this wasn't the time to pry deeper into the man's personal life. She leaned back on her bench, studying every small movement and shadow of his face. So how can you proudly display stormtrooper helmets in your office? And how can you embrace a political philosophy so much like the Emperor's? Oh, the artifacts. They're just a matter of history, aren't they? Casterfo waved his hand absently, as if dismissing a banquet server droid who had come for his plate too soon. Leia's irritation lasted only the instant before Casterfo continued, "As for political philosophy, all we centrists want is to take a fair look at what aspects of the Empire actually worked. Centralizing power, creating maximum efficiency, binding the worlds of the galaxy closer together. Can you honestly say it did no good whatsoever? Whatever good came of the Empire came at too high a price. I agree completely. But what if we could achieve some of those same benefits without repeating Palpatine's mistakes?" Casterfo leaned forward. "Surely you won't deny the New Republic is committing mistakes of its own. Not the evils of tyranny and control. No, the evils of absence and neglect." Leia didn't argue. She couldn't. Casterfo's words defined her own doubts about the direction the New Republic was headed in, namely down. Casterfo seemed encouraged by her silence. "The populist approach is less ideal than idealistic. It requires a leader who exercises power through charisma and consensus, rather than actual legal authority. With Mon Mothma, we had that. But she's gone, possibly forever, and the galaxy cannot afford the disorganization that has followed. We must find another path." He'd seen the exact same critical flaws in their government that Leia had been discussing with Han for years. What struck her most strongly about Casterfo's speech was not how much they agreed, however. It was how passionately he spoke. She had all but given up on the thought of making a difference through her work in the Senate. Casterfo still believed. Should she pity his naivete or honor his conviction? Leia found she could do both. "I think you centrists want to move too far in the other direction, but you're not wrong about the weakness of our Constitution," she said, drawing the tiny tracker from her cloak. He'd slipped it into the metal clasp at the neck. Clever. "We see the same problem, but different solutions." At least she and Casterfo did. Leia had her doubts about most of the centrist bench. Casterfo sipped his tea, his expression thoughtful. "A pity you never stood for Chancellor. You're a powerful leader, someone with lasting moral authority. More than that, you know when to stop debating and take action. If more populists were like you, the Senate and the New Republic would be better off." "I'm not eligible to cast a ballot on Ryosa, you know. No need to flatter me for my vote." Leia couldn't resist smiling as she said it. He smiled back, taking her joke in the spirit in which it had been intended. "I mean every word." Even after decades in politics that had taught her to trust almost no one, Leia realized she believed him. If any hope remained for the populists to come to honest terms with the centrists and find a middle path, it would be through politicians like Casterfo. Maybe she could introduce him to Tylin Gar and Varish Vickley before she resigned, build some bridges between them, and put the beginnings of that process in motion. Before she could think of the future, though, she still had to deal with the present. "You realize this mission isn't over, don't you?" Frowning, Casterfo said, "We haven't captured Rin Rivin Dai, but surely that will be only a matter of time." "The galaxy's a whole lot bigger and darker than you're giving it credit for. Rin Rivin's money will buy silence, and his reputation will create fear. He won't crawl out of his rock for a while yet," she sighed. "But that's not what I'm talking about.
We still don't fully understand Rinriven's operations. Standard racketeering, but on too broad a scale. Ryloth's not that close to Bastatha, and its economy is struggling. Hardly worth looting on its own. The only reason for Rinriven's cartel to target Ryloth is to try to get through them to the holdings of the few huts still in power. And anybody going after the hut fortunes is hunting big game. Castorfo's gaze had turned inward, processing this information.
You said he hated the huts. Could this be as much about revenge as it is about profit?
Possibly. Or other factors could be at work.
Other factors?
We were able to download some information from the droids Rinriven left behind when he fled, Leia said. The droids hadn't all been servitors dispensing drinks. Some held significant financial data. Corey ran a preliminary data analysis. While this can't be the entirety of Rinriven's operations, this alone suggests a network beyond anything I've ever seen, even from the huts. She punched her security code into the nearest terminal. Holograms popped up, displaying the charts of their findings. Faint greenish light played along Castorfo's face as he took it in.
Rinriven's not even keeping most of the money, he said in disbelief. It's being funneled into shadow corporations on various Outer Rim worlds. But of course he must control those, too.
That was my first thought, too. And we'll have to do a lot more digging before we can be sure. But it looks like Rinriven's simply giving that money away. We're talking about fortunes. My guess is he's not donating it to charity. Castorfo jerked upright, like a blaster bolt had hit him instead of a new idea.
Rinriven's cartel is new. Too new to have built this kind of reach from the ground up. Unless he had help getting started. A sponsor.
He caught on fast. Good. Someone else set Rinriven up, she said. And in return, Rinriven does their dirty work and skims off more than enough profit to keep him and his underlings happy.
But who would do this on such a scale?
Castorfo shook his head.
Criminal bosses normally don't trust other criminal bosses to handle their operations. Whoever these people are, they must have extraordinary reasons for wanting to remain out of sight.
Leia hesitated. She had no proof, only suspicions. Her observations had told her something, but not enough to act upon. Yet she felt that if she told Castorfo what she'd seen, no more, he would at least listen. I observed a group of humans at the casino last night. How could she describe them? Nothing had particularly stood out except their leader. One woman specifically, older, tan-skinned, silver-streaked hair, a slightly scarred face. She made a point of not watching us, like she wanted others to believe she didn't care. But it was too marked, too obvious. That woman was acutely aware of our presence and did not want to be noticed.
I remember her, Castorfo replied, surprising Leia.
I didn't pick up on that evasion you observed, but I didn't watch her long. She had an air of authority about her. I wondered whether she'd served in the military. The people with her acted as if she might have been their commanding officer once. Have you heard of the planet Daxam 4?
No.
Wait. A sort of desert planet, isn't it? One of the colder ones, on the Outer Rim. Understanding dawned.
The sort of place these shadow corporations might set up shop.
Not a planet lots of people are in a hurry to visit, either. In other words, an ideal place to hide out. Leia consulted her memory of the woman's face, willing herself to remember each detail. I found out those people we noticed were visiting from Daxam 4. They even seemed to intimidate the Nyctos who ran the club.
Are they tied to the cartel, do you think? Could they be the power behind Rinriven's operations?
Castorfo brightened. Once again, Leia saw his youth, his eagerness, but it no longer made her look on him with contempt. Instead, she saw someone overdue for a task equal to his ambitions. Maybe she could provide that. I don't know if they're connected in the slightest, Leia said. Daxum-4 doesn't show up in the first set of planets we've traced the funds to, but that may simply be the first layer of false cover. Maybe this is nothing more than a hunch, but it's a hunch we share. Willing to follow that hunch? Casterfo's grin widened.
Wherever it leads.
As if this were an adventure, instead of a very dangerous undertaking. But Leia had finally tasted adventure again for herself. She had something meaningful to do. She'd regained a sense of purpose, and after far too long. A little danger was a small price to pay. Chapter 9. One mission is not enough. Ransom's voice rang out in the Senate as he stood at his console. For this speech, he was not alone. Princess Leia stood as well, with the hollows and cams synced to show them standing together, even though they were separated by nearly the entire breadth of the enormous Senate chamber. They faced in opposite directions, so at least one of them would appear to be directly addressing half of the room. His elegant black shirt and cape contrasted with her ice-blue robes, as if they were both mirrors and opposites of each other. "We have proved that Rin Rivin Dai is a dangerous man. We've seen that his cartel reaches as far as any of the Hutts ever did. The allegations of Emissary Yendor have been proved legitimate, but our investigation must continue." He had addressed the entire Senate only a handful of times so far. Ransom still found the experience dizzying. Thousands of faces and species staring at him, listening to his every word, assessing his arguments through rationales he could neither predict nor control. He felt as if he'd never get used to it. This made it all the more impressive to hear Princess Leia's calm, confident voice. During the reign of the Empire, corruption allowed organized crime to expand its influence far beyond anything the galaxy had ever seen before. Many worlds' cooperation allowed us to turn that tide and re-establish the rule of law. But we cannot afford to become complacent. It is my belief, and that of Senator Casterfo, that Rin Rivin Dai's organization may represent a resurgence of organized crime, one we must put a stop to now. Ransom had argued that he and Princess Leia should present the Senate with the possibility of a shadowy power behind Rin Riven's rise. They'd debated that point from the Mirror Bright's journey home straight through to this morning, when they'd met to go over their joint address one last time. Surely if Rin Rivin was in league with someone even more powerful and better hidden, the Senate should know of the greater danger. But Princess Leia had remained adamant. "We have to stick as closely as we can to the most concrete information we have. If we start speculating, we'll lose the centrists immediately," she'd said. A smile had tugged at her lips. "And if you present a conspiracy theory to the Senate, they'll think I turned you populist." Ransom knew hers was the more prudent course of action, but standing in front of the Senate and holding back information that might be crucially important felt dishonest. He had sworn not to turn into one of the backstabbing sycophants of politics, to remain true to his convictions. Now here he was, lying. "Merely being cautious," he reminded himself. His goal was to spur the Senate to a more in-depth investigation. After that, he could present not mere suspicions, but hard facts. He and Princess Leia weren't hiding the truth. They were fighting to reveal it. She had begun their address and given him the chance to conclude it. He clasped his hands behind his back and lifted his chin. "Honorable members of the Senate, we hereby put forth a joint proposition. An extensive investigation into Rin Rivin Dai's cartel should begin immediately and be supported by the Senate's full resources. Senator Organa and I are willing to lead this investigation, working together. We urge you to act without delay." There. He'd been courteous but forceful, clear, and concise. Although he'd felt nervous a time or two, Ransom thought his voice hadn't betrayed it. He felt good about his speech until the moment the moderator droid said,
"The floor is open to responses."
Lights signaling the desire to speak blinked on all around the room, sending holodroids zipping in a dozen directions at once. Senator Anib Ney of Sullust rose first, the vocoder translating his words.
Senator Organa's life was put in danger by the vigilante actions of a centrist politician, and we are expected to simply ignore this? Can we trust a major investigation to a renegade?
Thunderstruck, Ransom barely managed not to gape at the senator in astonishment. Renegade? That might have been flattering under other circumstances. But vigilante? Next was a centrist in a gaudy suit, Senator Morton of Comra, who bellowed,
Senator Organa withheld critical information from Senator Casterfo. She recklessly endangered her life, and perhaps that of the entire delegation.
Princess Leia tried to respond. I fully admit that I made certain errors in judgment, as did I. Casterfo wouldn't let her take the blame alone, even though he remained pretty sure it was hers alone. They were moving past this and concentrating on what really mattered. But the Senate could concentrate on nothing. The droids kept cataloging debate after debate, with countless senators shouting into their amplifiers but listening to not one word. Ransom glanced at his console screen to see Princess Leia standing with her hands clasped in front, her face completely composed. In her calm stillness and the pale blue of her robe, he could almost believe her painted in frost. But by now he knew her well enough to detect the irritation in her brown eyes, and he suspected she saw it reflected in his. Their understanding was immediate. She might as well have leaned over and whispered, Can you believe these idiots? This is temporary, he told himself. Only posturing. When the senators have time to review our evidence, they'll take action. He refused to give up on the political process, as he suspected Princess Leia had. Although Ransom had learned to respect her, he would not copy her mistake. Giving up on the government was not an option. But he so wished his words had been listened to, that he'd actually managed to do some good and make his mark. Lady Carice Sindian was considered by most who knew her to be vain, shallow, and frivolous. She cultivated this reputation at every opportunity. Those who underestimated her ambitions would overestimate themselves. That made them vulnerable. Even if she never had to use those vulnerabilities, she would always know the soft belly, the unhealed break, the very place to strike. And when you understood a person's weaknesses, you could figure out anything else about them you needed to know. Meanwhile, the others would never understand her at all. Well, the vain part of her reputation was accurate. Lady Carice had enough self-awareness to acknowledge that. But she felt there were worse faults than taking pride in beauty and rank. She sat in her position, listening to the Senate roar its outrage over the mission to Bastatha. Probably most people in this room thought this would be the Senate's main point of controversy for the day. They were very wrong.
To have gone all the way to Bastatha and found so little, she thought, as she looked up at Princess Leia and Ransom Casterfo.
Lady Carice liked what little she knew of Casterfo, and as for the princess, well, she might have no regard for her own rank, but Lady Carice tried to honor Leia Organa as a fellow daughter of one of the elder houses. One had to respect titles and bloodlines. Without that, royalty would be meaningless. Finally, the Ithorian representative moved to table the discussion of further investigation of Rin Riven Dai. In effect, this meant that no one would take action on it again. Casterfo's shoulders sagged in obvious disappointment, but Princess Leia simply sank back into her place without so much as a frown. Lady Carice knew then that the princess had never expected anything to come of her speech in the first place. Perhaps the next speaker would prove more effective.
The floor now recognizes the Honorable Senator from Arcanis, Lady Carice Sindian.
She rose to her feet, ready for her moment. Her glittering red robes reflected the tiny cam lights of the holodroids, and her long black hair was held in place by jeweled combs from her homeworld. Even those who didn't expect to listen carefully would feel compelled to watch. She had their attention,